B-Pod Studios.
Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with James Stewart.
I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day.
And Mike Sarge Riley.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're trespassing on private property. When you walk through here, through these ropes, you're in my yard. Bad things happen in my yard.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
I'm going to tell y'all with a tear in my eye that Charlotte Flair will be challenging for the women's championship, for a women's championship at WrestleMania in Tampa. And Mike Riley, it is a great day to be a wrestling fan.
Nice job, Ed. Taking me back to 1992.
Well, and, Flair winning the Rumble, it's tradition, except a championship wasn't on the line here.
Now, that's where you just have to put the old woo in there.
I can't do a woo well enough, so I am so happy that Charlotte Flair will be challenging for a championship at WrestleMania in Tampa on her birthday. What a great birthday present for the fans of wrestling and for her to win a women's championship, to be challenging for a women's championship.
Now, good for Charlotte. Great birthday present. Present for the fans? No. I thought that was a big mistake here.
Really? Continue.
Yep. Not a fan of this. I mean, you had Shayna Baszler at the end, and those two were the last competitors there. A chance for them to make Shayna Baszler into that next, bring her to that next level there where they've teased her and Becky Lynch. They had the opportunity to put her in that main event status there for the Raw Women's Championship. You know she'd go right after her. And instead, we get Charlotte Flair. Great. Congratulations. She's, going to be probably the best of all time when it's all said and done.
Already is.
But come on. You had a chance to put Shayna Baszler there, who people have been behind. She's no longer the NXT champion. I know they're not saying women's champion anymore. People have gotten behind her. There was excitement when she had the chance to take down Charlotte Flair. I mean, come on. They threw away an opportunity right there in the Women's Royal Rumble, which, by the way, was a very good Royal Rumble match. Except I didn't agree with the booking of entrant number 28 or 29, I believe it was male in there.
Santino Marella. Oh, don't. That's a cleanup spot from years ago when Beth Phoenix was eliminated. It's brevity before a serious moment. Overthink it.
Well, you know what?
It didn't affect anything. It didn't affect anything.
Oh, well, wait a minute. Hold on. A cleanup spot, but it took away someone who was conspicuous by her absence.
Yep. We'll get there in a second.
Yeah. But I mean, listen, Charlotte, I know they're going to tell a good story, her and Becky Lynch. Great. But I think they let the ball drop here with the Shayna Baszler opportunity and Becky Lynch. Maybe we'll see something. Maybe we'll get Shayna Baszler, Ronda Rousey for WrestleMania with Becky and Charlotte. I don't know. A fatal four-way could happen. But I think they had a real opportunity here for Shayna Baszler to go after a one-on-one opportunity, and they threw it away.
See, I think that either Shayna's not getting the call up, or they're going to go about it a different way. And maybe it's Becky Lynch doing her best impression of Kill Bill, the Kill Bill movies, where it's the checklist. She taps out Asuka tonight, and now next on her checklist is Shayna Baszler, and she's the one who calls Shayna Baszler up to the Raw roster. Or they could do Charlotte versus Becky for WrestleMania, the two women in the main event last year, and the story is Becky didn't beat Charlotte last year, and so on and so on and so on. There's a way to get there. I think ultimately that Charlotte's going to go after Bayley for the SmackDown Women's Championship, and maybe they add another competitor. I'm not sure about that. 27 minutes, 4 eliminations, and 1 nap for Charlotte Flair, as she is the winner of the Women's 2020 Royal Rumble match. Mike, I like this women's Royal Rumble match. Highlights for me, Bianca Belair, 8 eliminations over 33 minutes. Shayna Baszler in at number 30 and eliminated 8. That was kind of her high spot moments. In yep. total, NXT representatives eliminated 18. 16 that I mentioned, plus Chelsea Green and Beth Phoenix, each had an elimination. And shout out to Beth Phoenix. She had blood in her hair for some reason. She might have yep. cracked her head somewhere, a turnbuckle, or I don't know. But credit to her. She didn't stop. She kept going.
Charlotte got some blood, too.
Charlotte got her nose busted open, and it fired her up for a few minutes.
Yeah.
And then she took a nap on the outside and won the match, which was, you know, dirtiest player in the game, right?
Yeah, sure.
As far as Sasha Banks go, she was your pick to win the Rumble match, the women's Rumble match.
She didn't make it on the pay-per-view.
And she was not on her pay-per-view.
Yep.
Here's what I believe on Sasha Banks. She's hurt. I believe it's the same hip injury that she injured in a Hell in a Cell match against Becky Lynch. I also believe that that hip injury was aggravated at the hands of Dana Brooke on SmackDown. If you go back on SmackDown, there was a tag team match where Dana Brooke pinned Sasha Banks on it. Dana did a swanton on Banks and landed with full impact. And I think that's where the hip injury was re-aggravated. I'm not sure about a timetable on the return of Sasha Banks. I don't think she's in any rush to get back into the ring.
Right.
She's got a nice downside guarantee. Mm. So that is why Sasha Banks was not in the Royal Rumble match. At least that's what I believe to be the reason why Sasha Banks was not in the Royal Rumble match tonight.
Yeah, and that's a fair assessment with the injury aspect here. We don't know. There was a lot of talk that, you know, is she going to be there toward the end? If you looked on the social media and everything, reading up briefly, where will she be the entrant for this Women's Royal Rumble match? And, you know, so much speculation. And like you mentioned there, I'm going to go with you on the injury, Jimmy, that she's definitely dealing with something. And that's why she wasn't here. Too bad. It's her birthday, too. It is her birthday today. On the Royal Rumble, not able to do that. And that would have been a nice story there for her to win that match. So hopefully she gets back into the ring sooner than later, and a safe and speedy recovery for her if indeed she is dealing with that hip injury.
Yeah, that's what I believe. I believe she's got a hip injury. I believe it was at the hands of Dana Brooke on a swanton on SmackDown a few weeks ago. That's what I believe.
Okay.
Let's transition to the men's Rumble match. Mike, what'd you think?
You know what? I thought, like, obviously the storytelling was Brock Lesnar at the beginning, number one entrant, 13 eliminations, or four. Actually, wait a minute. I'm sorry, 14. 13.
He tied the record of Braun Strowman.
Braun Strowman. Okay, so there you go. You know, just so much happening there. You could tell that some guys were going to get buried right away. I was actually surprised Kofi Kingston lasted more than a minute in the ring with him there. And also there was the Shelton Benjamin angle. I thought from what we've seen with Shelton Benjamin, especially the last couple of weeks, that he was going to get buried here in this one. And you just knew he was going to turn on him right away. So he did. Brock, of course, turning on Shelton Benjamin. Keith Lee.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Put up a good fight. I think that was a good way to showcase Keith Lee. Not that we haven't seen him get that push in NXT. He is a North American champion right now. He's got a great future ahead of him. And to see what he did to go up there against Brock Lesnar, I think that's a great step in the right direction for a guy like that, Jimmy.
Brock sold really well for him. And what was funny was Brock mouthed to Paul Heyman, "Who is this guy?" And then Brock sold all of his offense really, really well. I was really happy about that.
Yep. Yep. And then, but of course, you know, the signature, and I think you'll agree, Drew McIntyre just eliminating Brock Lesnar. That just set everything up there. And from that moment on, it was Drew McIntyre's Royal Rumble match to lose. I think he was the favorite from that moment. Sure, he goes on to win it. Good for him. Great way for WWE to put him up into that pillar of excellence right there in a main event status. A main event competitor, singles guy. That's a great thing they told right there. And they also did tease, you know, Drew and Brock Lesnar. That may not happen in WrestleMania. You may get that in Saudi Arabia with Brock being pissed off leaving the ringside area. So you might get something there. But the question is, will Drew McIntyre go for Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, or does he go for the Fiend on the Universal title there for SmackDown? But I'm going to go Brock, I think, the whole distance here for the Mania side.
I loved this Royal Rumble match. I loved the story of this match. And this is an indication of how WWE, when motivated, can make a superstar in one night on one match. The reason why I love this Rumble so much is that what they did with Brock Lesnar out of the number one spot is something that they have talked about on commentary since for the 30 years of the Royal Rumble match. Brock, from the number one spot, picked off people. And that's the way that it historically should be able to do, is you're the first in the ring, you have the advantage, you knock everybody out. I know the world hates Brock Lesnar. I know there are a lot of people who hated the first 13 entrants of this match and the way that it was booked. But you have to do all of that to get to the Drew McIntyre point. And if it was Keith Lee, it happened to be Drew McIntyre. If it was Big E or Braun Strowman, whoever was going to eliminate Brock Lesnar was going to get that pop. And I was surprised that they had McIntyre win the match. I'm glad, because it put two exclamation points on Drew McIntyre for the night. He gets the elimination of Brock Lesnar, and he gets the Royal Rumble win. They could have done one and not the other, and it would have made an impact, but probably as not as emphatic an impact as this one. But here's why I loved Brock just picking off people. Because Pat Patterson's vision of the Royal Rumble is it's a new match every 60 seconds, 90 seconds, 2 minutes, whatever Titan time is that's time. Yep. So you got teases of Brock Lesnar versus Elias and Eric Rowan and John Morrison. You got Kofi trying to get his revenge. You got a tease of Big E versus Brock Lesnar. You got Cesaro and Brock Lesnar making contact. The same with Brock Lesnar and Nakamura. Keith Lee, which you mentioned. Braun Strowman's got an axe to grind with Brock Lesnar, as did Rey Mysterio.
Yep.
So you got a whole bunch of that stuff, and now Drew McIntyre and Brock Lesnar have an issue. And my assumption is that Drew McIntyre is going to go after Brock because they planted all the seeds for it.
Right.
And it was really, really well done. The other thing that the other kind of big story, there are two other big stories that I liked.
I think I know what you're going to say, so go ahead.
So I liked the Edge return. I liked the Edge surprise return. But then when Michael Cole said it's been 9 years in triple neck fusion surgery, I cringed a little bit. And now, in the same way that when Daniel Bryan came back, every time he took a bump, I cringed. I eventually got over it. I'll get over it with Edge too. But for the first few times he's delivering that spear or he's taking an Aleister Black kick to the head, kind of cringe a little bit.
We're human. We're human. You know, and he is too.
He is too.
Yeah, and it's just like, you're right. You know he's going to, it's a hold your breath kind of moment there. You just got to see what's going to happen and hope for the best. Hopefully nothing ever does happen bad there. But for Edge to be in the final three, and thank God. I mean, listen, love Roman Reigns, but I'm going to tell you right now, if Roman Reigns won that Royal Rumble, people, the internet would blow up right now. They would be furious because the way he eliminated Edge was, it sucked. It was a stupid elimination. It was dumb. And then, of course, if he goes to eliminate Drew McIntyre, people will be furious. So it was a good pop right there to have Drew McIntyre do that there. But for Edge to go in and did what he did there in that Royal Rumble match, phenomenal shape. Looks really good. He's probably going to have a WrestleMania match. There is a pretty good opportunity. He may have one more match.
There were some good teasers there. Of course, Roman eliminates him, that face-to-face with AJ Styles.
Yep. Randy Orton.
Randy Orton could rekindle that one. I would think that they would go with a new match, though.
Yeah.
But if you're telling me it's Edge versus Roman at WrestleMania, I dig that.
I'm in. Yeah.
I would like that match.
Sure.
We mentioned Roman. Drew McIntyre, another exclamation point. He eliminates Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns in the same match.
That's big.
That's huge. And maybe that is a make good, because I'm under the impression that Drew McIntyre was promised a match with The Undertaker this past summer, and that didn't happen. Why it didn't happen, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I have it on good authority that Drew McIntyre and The Undertaker were supposed to have a one-on-one match, and I think it was supposed to be SummerSlam.
I got better authority. I can confirm that it was supposed to happen. And I'm going to tell you what, I hope it happens in 2020, Jimmy, for obvious reasons.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked at it.
Yes.
The other thing that I really liked about this Royal Rumble match is that dirty, filthy scoundrel Seth Rollins.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Number 30 entrant.
Gets the number 30 entrant, and he comes out with his super group. Mm-hmm. And he cheats the whole time he's there, eliminating Aleister Black, Samoa Joe, and Kevin Owens. This was excellent. This was very, very well done. You know, Seth Rollins being this dirtbag is outstanding. Mm-hmm. And he thinks he's in the right. It's a variation off the Bret Hart 97 character.
Yep.
And Seth Rollins trying to bring back the Shield again, trying to team up with Roman, and Roman just, you know, smacked him in the face. And then they eliminated Seth Rollins and they got down to the final group. But I thought Seth Rollins was excellent in the short amount of time that he was a part of the Royal Rumble match.
Yeah, and you know, he's not in that main event category from where he was about a year ago for the championship, so for what they're doing with him right now, I'm okay with that. And he was really good. Told a good story there. Kind of like his posse. The same thing what they did with what Otis did with Mandy Rose in the women's Royal Rumble there, helping him out on the outskirts so he wouldn't take the fall and be eliminated there. So Rollins, good. And, you know, not a good reaction for him. To the production crew's credit, Jimmy, I think if you notice, there was a little bit of a pause there to build up that suspicion. Who is number 30 going to be?
Oh, of course there was. I was hoping it was John Cena. John Cena did not make an appearance in this Royal Rumble match. Therefore, I am incorrect on picking John Cena as a winner and Chase for 17. So,
well, but you are right on Charlotte for the women's.
I am right on Charlotte for the women's.
And
I found out about a week ago that she was going to win.
Oh, all right, okay. For the men's, who was correct for the men's?
Let's see. Was that you?
You're talking to him, yes.
Excellent.
You're welcome.
Did you find out last week?
No, I will say this though, but reading through the lines, I had a good feeling.
Yeah,
just had a good feeling, you know. But I'm gonna tell you this though. I think that with the Brock Lesnar, when he was just eliminating everyone left and right, it just, you had that feeling that either the lights were going to go out, you're going to hear The Undertaker. There's going to be another pause there.
Kane.
And then Kane, yeah. Or then you hear CM Punk's, or then John Cena, and the place explodes. But for what they did, the way they wrote it, they built the superstar in Drew McIntyre, put him up to that next step in the right direction. That was really good storytelling tonight. So, good men's Royal Rumble match. I thought in between the women's matches, the women's Royal Rumble and the men's Royal Rumble got a little slow, but the men's Royal Rumble, great booking to close it out there, and the way they told that story was good stuff.
So just one other note from me about this Royal Rumble match. Number 23, Matt Riddle. Mm. And I mentioned Matt Riddle because he got into a verbal spat today with Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
So first it was Goldberg at SummerSlam, which WWE, to their credit, they showed on their Goldberg special.
Yep.
And now Brock Lesnar at the Royal Rumble. So at least if you're Matt Riddle and you're high as a kite, you're making your interactions with people and you're angering people, and they're big people. They're important people.
Yep.
But Matt Riddle, full talent, just kind of
work within
the structure of WWE.
Yep, yep.
Because I think he was in line for for something important in NXT, and because of the Goldberg thing, he didn't get it, and I don't think he's going to get it because of the Brock thing. Because as we know, if you don't work within the WWE circle, you get punished. And sometimes even if you do work within the WWE circle, you get punished.
Yes. Yeah. You're going to serve some time in the doghouse, and that's where he is right now. So
Mike, any other notes on the Royal Rumble match from you?
Just a couple, just to go back on the women's real quick. It looks like you might see a match at WrestleMania between Natty and Beth Phoenix. With that elimination there, I would not be surprised. Also, I like the, you know, we know that she just signed a 5-year extension this weekend, Mandy Rose. So she had a nice little display there in the women's match, and a good
fans
little push.
Dig her thing with Otis.
But they really do.
They really do dig that thing with Otis.
Yep, and good to see the NXT superstars, as you mentioned, get some good quality time there in the women's Royal Rumble match. The future is bright for them. So, I thought Toni Storm, Bianca Belair, obviously Shayna Baszler, those guys really, really, those women, I should say, really had some good spots. Candice LeRae, even Chelsea Green for the little time she was in, but still a really good display of a future talent for them on the main event card. And for the men's, I think we're going to hear more about it on Raw and SmackDown this week, that Edge will have a match probably in Saudi Arabia and hopefully one more at WrestleMania.
Edge in Saudi Arabia. I didn't consider it, but that would make sense because that's where he could get his biggest payday.
Exactly.
So two matches from the undercard that I have notes on. The Bray Wyatt versus the Fiend strap match. I thought it was a good violent match. I was surprised they announced it was going to be a pin or submission, because I figured if they did the four corner touch thing, that it would create doubt that the Fiend was going to retain and Bryan could get it off a fluke or something like that. So as the match is going on and Bryan's getting beaten down, I'm trying to think of a creative finish for Bryan to pull an upset.
Yep.
And so when Bryan had the lapel lock on Bray and he wrapped the strap around his head, I thought this might be the finish. This might be the upset. But it wasn't. And the Fiend no-sold some strap shots after the flying knee and mandible claw choke slam for the pin. The Fiend retains the Universal Championship. Bryan selling the beat down to the dressing room, I thought was excellent. And it helped make the Fiend look even that more impressive. The problem is Michael Cole yelling support for Daniel Bryan makes my eyes roll.
Really?
Yeah, because Michael Cole hammered Daniel Bryan early in his WWE career, calling him a nerd and a vegan and all this stuff. And even when Michael Cole was screaming for Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania 30, my eyes still rolled because I know it's a character, but at the same time, it's, I believe to a degree, in character integrity. And so when Jesse Ventura was cheering for the Macho Man Randy Savage as a villain, and then as a good guy, he's still cheering for him, and he's pointing out to Vince and Gorilla, I was on the Macho Man bandwagon long before you guys were. That's commentator and character consistency. Mm-hmm. And as the lead play-by-play announcer, he shouldn't have been a villain because it affects his credibility for things like this.
Yeah, but you know what? So that's funny because, like, even for years, I know you mentioned the Jesse Ventura thing, but what about like a guy like Jerry Lawler? For years, he was a major heel villain commentator. Now he's kind of a face, right?
Yeah, because I think he's at that point where they're not going to boo him. And he's more of a color commentator than an analyst color, an analyst commentator. And there's a difference.
I know, yeah.
So Lawler, like, and I heard a moment tonight where he's talking about opponents who just happen to have the number. And he talked about Bret Hart.
And that's what I thought of right away.
And that is a rare instance where Jerry Lawler is being an analyst and not screaming puppies or screaming, Kelly Kelly, and cracking a joke about Kelly Kelly being in the Royal Rumble match.
Right.
There's a difference. Corey Graves is more of an analytical broadcaster. He's more there to tell you, like, Taz is the perfect balance of both. And Taz has a good feel. Taz, of course, signed a new multi-year deal with AEW to be a color commentator, a color analyst. But Taz can do both and has great feel for when to do both.
Yep.
And Jerry Lawler can do the same things when he wants to.
Yeah.
And there would be times where it would be Lawler and Ross, and you could tell Ross kind of nudges the king and says, okay, Jerry, let's go. Let's be an analyst here. Let's not scream what a maneuver, or scream puppies or whatever, realm, Jerry Lawler. It's time to put your game face on and let's go.
Right, right. Yeah, I guess I was just, looking at it from the fact of, for years seeing Lawler just absolutely annihilate the Hart family and Bret Hart, obviously kayfabe. But then, did he put him in the Hall of Fame or he helped him out? He had something with Bret, or he didn't put Bret in the Hall of Fame, but he had an interview with him at one point on a Raw, and they're very nice to each other. So it was like, God damn, I kind of wish Lawler was being kind of a dick to him like he has in the past. So that's where I just look at the Cole situation, something like that. Like, maybe it's just like that, how Jerry Lawler was with Bret Hart.
Well, and I think with Bret, it's different because Bret essentially came back to WWE and shook hands with everybody.
It's true. He did.
And then they did the match with Vince, and that was supposed to be the end, but they still had Bret tap out Miz and U.S. Championship and blah, 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 because they were in Toronto and whatever.
Right. Yeah. No, I get what you're saying with the Michael Cole thing and the Daniel Bryan. And by the way, Daniel Bryan's new T-shirt, Dynamite.
Oh, awesome. I ordered it.
Did you really?
I did order it.
The Planet Champion, huh?
Yep. Nice. Absolutely, 100%. It can go with
looks, Jimmy.
It can go with my eco-friendly belt, which I should bring this to you, because this thing, Daniel Bryan's a genius. This belt, this championship is lightweight. It breathes. It moves well.
Yeah,
like we have our little belt collections, and they are heavy.
They are
this
heavy.
Thing, light as a feather.
Okay, well, it should be
eco-friendly, saving the earth one championship at a time. One t-shirt at a time. The other set of notes that I have match-wise from the Royal Rumble is Becky Lynch versus Asuka. Becky taps out Asuka to retain the Raw Women's Championship. It is day 294 of Becky Lynch being the Raw Women's Champion. I like this match. I like the physical nature of the match. I like the story that they told during this match. And one of the reasons why I like this match so much was Becky and Asuka tried different moves in different areas of the ring. Asuka hit a neck breaker into the ropes. Lynch used a front suplex off the apron. Asuka hit a German suplex and then did some kicks to the head, to the point where I thought Becky was knocked out.
Yeah.
And the way that the ref was looking at Becky, it's like, there might be a stoppage here.
Right.
And at the last second, Becky Lynch grabbed the referee's ankle before Becky kind of did a Hulk up spot, and then Asuka kicked her in the head again. And I'm like, that's a fall. And it wasn't. Yeah. Becky kicked out at 2 9/8 or 2 8/9 or whatever the fraction is. But she got the shoulder up at the last minute. And good back and forth between Becky and Asuka. Mike, what'd you think?
Yeah, and it, you know, with the referee there getting that little hit there from Becky, you know, I was like, oh, damn, I hope he doesn't go down and just, you know, kind of ruin this whole match here, because that was a soft hit. And then shortly after that, Becky does go on to win that match. It was a good one there. The question is, I don't think you're going to see Asuka too much anymore on the singles division. I think that may have been it for a while. I think she's going to strictly, you know, go to this tag team division, because where else are you going to put her right now on the women's singles matches? It looks like you're going to get Becky and Charlotte, maybe Shayna and Becky. I don't know, but right now I think you're going to see her try to elevate that tag team women's division in the tag team women's titles that we rarely have seen defended in the last few weeks, for better or worse. So I just don't think she'll be in a main event status anymore after this match tonight with Becky Lynch, which was a very good match. And Becky, I'm excited to see what's going to happen with her come WrestleMania.
Yeah, it's either Shayna, it's Charlotte, or maybe Ronda comes back at a later date and they're going to hotshot it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's they have. Here's the thing, Mike, is they don't have a great story, a franchise-changing story to tell, but they have a lot of good and simple stories, right? Yep. So there's no Hogan Warrior. There's no Rock Hogan. Right. There's no Undertaker's last match. There's no Ric Flair's last match. But they have a lot of good TV stories that, if they're written well, they can be compelling. And I think that in this Royal Rumble match, just resetting the men's winner, Drew McIntyre, they told a great story with Drew McIntyre tonight.
Yep.
And they told some good stories with other competitors, like Bianca Belair got a nice little push. Shayna Baszler got a nice little push within the match. They, of course, made the right call by having Charlotte win the Royal Rumble match. Sorry, I couldn't resist trying to bring it all back to my teams.
Sure, opinion.
The last thing that I have in my notes before we wrap this up is Tom Phillips.
Mm-hmm.
He did NXT last night, and he did the Raw side of commentary tonight. So my question is, and I don't know the answer to this, is Vic Joseph out? Because it seems like the internet is asking. I'm curious about it. And if that's true, are they going to flip Tom Phillips from NXT UK to Raw and then put Vic Joseph on NXT UK? But it feels like Tom Phillips is back doing a main show.
And it's just like so much shakeup there on that Raw broadcast team. Dio Madden, too, of course, when he first came in, and you know, I think this guy just was not ready for Raw. He was not ready for even a SmackDown. He's not ready, obviously, not ready for a pay-per-view. So, for Vince or Paul Heyman, whoever's making that call there, they have to go for whoever they're comfortable with, and it's got to be Tom Phillips right there. And I think that will be the case there. You're probably looking at a Tom Phillips, Jerry Lawler team on Monday Night Raw going forward. WWE is going to be pretty comfortable with that, and that's what they have to go with. And if they're going to hear that from everyone, just put it right there. Don't fix it if it ain't broke. Like, I mean, as much as I'm not a big Tom Phillips fan, Jimmy, he does an okay job. You know, he doesn't do anything that's not doesn't make it look bad or sound bad. I mean, you know, if you don't hear anything, the old saying, no news is good news. When you have him on there, there's nothing really bad to report. It's either you like him or you don't. The other guy here, Vic Joseph, it just didn't really seem to connect, and it was more like bad stuff you heard. So I think that's what the plan is here on out. Todd Phillips will be replacing him. And bring back Byron Saxon, too, as a third man in.
No, I'm all set with Byron Saxon.
Really?
Whatever. He's a cheerleader. Replaceable cheerleader.
I like him.
You would.
All right, never mind. I'll stop.
All right, we're 70 days until WrestleMania.
Yeah.
In Tampa. I know you're excited. I know Joe Murray's excited. I know Andy Wong will be excited. And it's the road to WrestleMania. We have Drew McIntyre and Charlotte Flair, who will be part of WrestleMania unless something in the story changes between now and then. But 7 days until WrestleMania. Get excited. Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. For Mike Riley at Sarge985, the show's Twitter account is at WrestleCast985. The show's email address is WrestleCast985@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter at IamJamesStewart. And we're happy to have you along for the road to WrestleMania.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.